This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the Morning Run, and you're here with Wong Xiaoning and Koo Soo Chuang. It's currently 7:06 in the morning. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Jasmine Lee, Chief Marketing Officer of U-Mobile, on digital disruption, especially in the wake of COVID-19. But before that, let's take a look at how markets closed last Friday, because Asian markets were mixed as investors took stock of disappointing economic data coming out of China. So China's industrial output grew 4.8% in July from a year earlier, in line with June's growth, but less than forecast of a 5.1% rise. As a result, Nikkei was up 0.2%, Hang Seng was down 0.2%. Also, Shanghai was up 1.2%, Straits Times in Singapore was down 0.7%, while our FBM KLCI was down 0.8%.
Yeah, America was similarly lackluster. The Dow was up 0.1%, just a tread. The S&P was down flat. In fact, they closed flat, but marginally down by 0.02%. And the Nasdaq was also lackluster, down by 0.2%.
Looks like markets aren't going anywhere in any particular direction in the US.
Yeah, maybe they're booking their profits.
Perhaps. You know. But for more insights into global markets, we have on the line Stephen Innes, Asia Pacific Market Strategist with Axie Trader. Good morning, Stephen. Now, the S&P 500 bullish momentum, like we say, seems to be slowing down. Is the market looking at more fiscal stimulus to push it higher, or is it because just valuations are just stretched? Hello, good morning, Stephen. Are you there with us? I think we might be having some technical issues. Yeah, like, but what we said, Chuang, you know, is you know, what's happening in the market of a function of, like you say, traders at the moment just taking a break because, you know, they just want to lock in their profits.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, what goes up must come down and what goes down must come up. So it's been a huge rally since the March lows, right?
Yeah, but it's all very much funded by the cheap liquidity in the system, isn't it?
Exactly.
And ultra low rates. So the question is, can this continue after at some point, right? Valuations do seem stretched, and also just a lot of money going into the FANG stocks. But I think we have Stephen on the line. Stephen, are you there? Stephen, oh, I think we still might be having some issues with him this morning. Yeah, but all that concentration has been so far been on just the FANG stocks very much. So we haven't seen any, in fact, there's been selling across the board, like say on the bank stocks and of course some of the cyclicals, aviation stocks, tourism, that's been impacted very much by COVID-19.
Funny you should mention the banks. Warren Buffett was a huge bank bull back in the day, but he's also been releasing his financial stocks. But what is intriguing as well, I also noticed from his 13F filing, but he's also been, and this is very, very anomalous to his behavior, he's actually bought gold.
Yeah.
And he's a very famous bull bear, gold bear.
Yeah, so at this moment, right, he's been selling billions of dollars in stock in Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, and even after other financial institutions. But I do believe we have Stephen on the line at the moment. Stephen, can you hear us?
Yes, I've got you. Sorry about the connection issues.
No, finally, we're glad to speak to you. But, you know, we were talking about the S&P 500 and the fact that, you know, it seems to have lost its bullish momentum. Do you think it's because markets are waiting for this fiscal stimulus to happen, or is it because valuations are stretched?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think it's hard to argue that it's not bullish. I mean, look at the levels we're in. Isn't this incredible? I every day I wake up and come and analyze this market, I'm always sort of looking at it, shocked that we're making new highs on the S&P index. I think, the stimulus package is going to help. I think it just boils down to the fact that government stimulus and central banks around the world have just done such a great job greasing the markets. But investors tend to look forward, right? And what I mean by that is they're really factoring in forward earnings. And when you're talking about rates that are, especially real rates that are in deep negative territory, when you're present valuing these forward earnings, you're actually still getting a pretty good earnings per share return. So, you know, if you're buying tech stocks on the premise of a 10-year to 15-year hold, surely Apple's earnings are going to continue to skyrocket. Even more so in this environment where, you know, every time you open up the paper, it shows another company is going to probably have their people work from home. forever. So, I mean, all this points to the more use of the internet, and all this points to more use of technology. Looking at the way the market's going higher here, it seems to be really segmented around the tech industry, and I think this is safe. I think it's favorable. Sure, the stimulus package is going to help. Sure, on the surface, valuations look high, but really, when you factor in that negative return of freehold assets, you know, it's not too bad taking a gamble looking on a 15-year horizon, in my view.
Yeah, just one more issue to be had on the U.S. share market, Stephen. We are in, of course, the last couple of months into U.S. election season. Do you think the market is positioning for what might be an uncertain election outcome in America? Is there any kind of posturing going on?
Yeah, you know, we looked at that. I've been looking at that fact over the weekend. I think there's good and bad on both sides of the equation. Obviously, a Trump government's going to probably promote more oil, gas industry. We look at a Biden, $2 trillion stimulus is going to focus around green energy. However, I don't think the fossil fuel crew lobbying are going to, you know, let them run too far. And obviously, Biden's not going to bite the hand that feeds him. I think the big issue comes down to the tax differences where Trump is going to be, you know, more favorable from the tax perspective, especially high wealth people, whereas Biden's going to clamp down on people over making over 100,000. We have to also look at it from the trade perspective. You know, the perspective here is that Trump gets in, that's probably going to keep China under the cosh for a while, and probably indefinitely. Whereas Biden, we could probably see a walk back in a lot of the trade frictions and probably just complete wipe the slate clean on the tariffs. So, yeah, we could be in for a bit of a you know, bump on taxes from Biden, but then on the other side, the de-escalation in trade. So it's a bit of a toss-up. I'm not so negative on the whole outcome as I was before. And sure, the currency markets are hedging for a weaker dollar around that specific date, but that's not really that unusual, really, because you know, that week of election risk is going to be quite severe. So it seems to me that the market's centering on that week as opposed to the longer-term perspective, which I think is pretty favorable. So in other words, to answer your questions a little bit more succinctly, I think the risk that we all thought was going to happen might be a little bit overstated at this point.
And Stephen, since you mentioned China, we know their industrial production and retail numbers for July fell below market expectations. But at the same time, they're still having ongoing upcoming trade talks with the U.S. So how much does Chinese economic recovery depend on those talks, and what are the issues on the table?
You know, the great thing about the talks is that the U.S. really watered them down quite considerably, although they're being delayed probably more towards the end of the month. I'm not really sure the reason why they're getting delayed. My feeling is it's more political, that they didn't want to have a positive outcome from the trade talks during the Democratic convention. Obviously, the Democratic convention stealing the light hog light of a front page. But getting back to the question again, I think it's all about China reaffirming their commitment to increase energy and agricultural imports from the U.S. positively on Friday. One of the news wires reported that China is actually ramping up oil imports this month. So I think the delay could also be a fact to see if they actually come through this. This was confirmed by U.S. oil traders and also China oil importers. So this is quite positive. I see this as a complete wipe down of the possible escalation of risk around the trade talks. Wiping that down really, in my view, opens up a more favorable environment for moving forward ahead of the U.S. elections.
And thank you for your time. That was Stephen Innes, Asia Pacific Market Strategist at XC Trader, saying that there could be a de-escalation of U.S.-China tensions at the moment, especially if Biden comes to the White House in November.
Yeah, it's really a different campaign path totally. I mean, of course, Joe Biden has got his $5 trillion climate change plan. He's also proposed a higher tax on the rich, but equally as well, he might not demonstrate such vitriol towards his Chinese counterparts, thereby de-escalating these trade tensions.
So you win some, you lose some.
You win some, you lose some, you see.
Yeah, there's no real conclusive outcome. We'll really be watching the U.S. elections. And also, if whoever comes in the White House, if it's Biden, whether he will really be raising taxes is that question, right?
And I think more importantly, you've got Kamala, he's got Kamala Harris by his side. And, you know, she's female. She's a person of color. And you've got all that perspective that comes along with it, which I think is very important.
And she's quite pro-tech.
She was pro-tech, yeah.
Yeah, she was, I believe, attorney in San Francisco.
California. And, famously leaned on the tech giants.
But up next, we'll be speaking to Jasmine Lee, Chief Marketing Officer from U Mobile, on digital disruption, especially in the wake of COVID-19. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.